How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I think of His grace and His mercy, and oh yeah, how He loves me, all I can do is thank Him for blessing me. He shields me from the hurt and the pain. A touch from Him and you will never be the same. Yes, I gotta thank Him for saving me.
I thank Him for my blessings every day that I wake up. We were born into this sin, but He decided to save us. Wasn't grateful for my life, but now I thank Him every night. Because without Him, I'd be lost. Now the problem has been solved. I remember all the lies and all the times that I disguised. But now His greatness and His mercy was revealed into my eyes. I'm so alive, I rose up from the dead, survive. I cannot help but give Him praise. You should come along for the ride.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coach's Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited, y'all. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, I am gonna be biased today. Majority of the time I say I try not to be biased, I'm about to be straight up biased today. Why? Because when you talk about a hype man or a hype woman, when you talk about support, when you talk about somebody having your back, when you talk about somebody being your cheerleader, that is who today's servant leader is. Today, we have Coach Chris Burnett with us. KB is what we call her, right? She is now the interim head women's basketball coach at Montreat College. Shout out. Y'all see me representing. But more than anything, she's a servant leader. She's been rocking with us as we start to approach 2 years. She's been rocking with us since the very beginning. And to watch the growth, to watch how God has had His hand on her, I am super excited if y'all can't tell. So KB, I'm gonna pass the torch to you. Before I do that, y'all, I want to say a special happy birthday to her though. She's spending her birthday with the servant leader, y'all. That should let y'all know right the type of person she is. So Coach, go ahead and unmute yourself. I thank you for being here, and I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners.
Hello. First, that intro was amazing. Thanks, Chelsea. I love to spend my birthday with you and on this platform. And like you said, I came up through here. Might be your first cousin to do that, and now I'm living my wildest dreams. So thank you for that. Definitely want to say this is a part of my bucket list. So check.
Love that. Stop.
You're right. And I also have to say, and I wrote it down, I've got to say it, since I have came up through here and, you know, you guys have seen the growth and, you know, the journey, Coach Huff, Brandy Ford, Coach D, Coach G, Coach Kendra, Coach Derek, Coach Paul, Coach Anderson, and the amount of coaches and people on this session, this servant leadership that you do, elevated my mindset in my life. And I really don't know, you know, if I would be here today without that. So definitely want to say thank you for that.
And we thank you. We thank you for real. And we appreciate you for that.
Appreciate that. So yes, let's get this rolling. Coach Chris Vernet, my camp calls me KB. I am the interim head coach at Monterey College. Previous to that, I was an assistant coach under the great servant leader, Coach Timothy Lewis. I call him T. Lou. And just learning from that, that was my first season. I just completed. He went on to full-time ministry and fatherhood. And now I sit in this position as we go through the process. And prior to that, I served in inner city Cincinnati as a public school teacher and a high school and AAU coach.
I think one of the biggest reasons why I get excited about you, right, is because when you talk about a servant leader, one of the attributes that I don't want to say that's often forgotten, but one of the ones that we really don't put at the forefront is the ability to wait. The ability to cheer, as we say on social media, to clap for everyone else until it's your turn. Mm-hmm. Often we wait. When is it going to be my turn? When is God going to bless me? When do I get my opportunity, right? And sometimes we get sour while we watch other people. You, my friend, you choose to uplift. You never, ever, and in the midst, as you say, our camp, right? Watching the endless servant leaders, we're now up to 155 episodes. And that was before, right? We even had many before we even started a podcast. So you upward of 200 coaches, watching them elevate and transition and move and quote unquote win, and you cheer for every last one of them. Talk a little bit about that attribute of being a servant leader and a Proverbs 30 woman, about how to wait, how to have courage and faith in the waiting, knowing that God's going to give you what you've asked for.
Right, for sure. Coach Chelsea, it's always been in my DNA. That's just how I've always been. I actually enjoy it. It fills my heart to support other people, especially when I believe in them. That's the key. It's always been on belief. But just going through this journey, I've noticed, like, when I believe in someone or a group of people or team, like, if I go all into them, God blesses me back 10 times more in favor. And like I said previously, it feels good to me in my soul and my heart, and it builds with the servant leadership. It brings a community, collaboratory like leadership, and we just look out for each other and keep it going. So I don't know what else to say except for, like, that's just who I am. And I enjoy doing it, and it's worked out in my favor.
For sure. And you do. That's the thing. It's not something that's forced, right? Mm-hmm. If it needs to be tweeted, you're going to tweet it. If it needs to be said, you're going to say it. If somebody needs to be encouraged, you're going to be the first one in line for it. And I think that is why all of us just admire you so much, because it's not forced. If I don't care who it is, the other people in the camp may not even know. We're going to know. We won't see the original tweet, but we're going to know if it happened. Coach KB going to retweet it. So we need to go ahead. I think even with our brother Dennis, he when he got coach of the year, I didn't see it from his school. I saw it from you. And I'm like, let me get it. You know, congratulate our brother. But I think that's amazing, because so often when individuals win and we haven't received our quote unquote win yet, we find it hard to cheer. We find it hard to celebrate. And you do just that. And I think that is so amazing as a servant leader. You know, in talking about servant leadership and also learning to wait on Christ, it's amazing when we talk about, you and I met when you were in the high school game with me, right? In the trenches, in the classroom with me, and in high school sports. And now you've made that transition into the collegiate world, right? And then I want you to talk a little bit about that transition. But what is a rarity of what happens and what people don't know is, after your first full year, you've received this interim head coach. You've transitioned from a high school coach to a collegiate coach. And after one season, you have now received the interim tag as the head women's basketball coach of a college program. Talk to us about those transition moments and what you're doing to, one, not get overwhelmed, but be being prepared and ready.
For sure. So I'll explain the process with that. A lot of people don't know. I really live my life, again, by belief and signs and my faith and betting on myself and just looking at the universe and what God sends to me. So during that transition, which was pretty cool, 2 years prior, you know, my mentor and everybody was like, go be a college coach. And honestly, I was afraid. I didn't know where to go or who to talk to. Like, I just didn't know. But just the encouraging words on that and feeling that, hey, I do really well at this, but my heart is somewhere else and I want to try something different and live my dreams. So I started speaking it publicly after talks with God, and this is what I want to do, and I'm going all in on my faith and whatever, you know, our steps are already ordered for God. So said it publicly 2 years ago. And then that process was just honestly the signs and the encouragement. I've won, and I believe with my faith and through people. So it was just constantly putting in the work. Like, I worked hard for it. Nobody could take that away from me, whether it was on these all these clinics, all these basketball sessions. I was there, a lot to sacrifice. I wasn't going out with friends. I was, you know, in the books and learning from all these coaches. And they just seen me constantly there and started building these relationships with coaches. Network we hear is really big, but yes, network, but I built relationships and it's genuine. And then just going after that and keeping my faith, and one thing leads to another. God put my name on people's hearts and my name started getting out there. And, you know, we got this opportunity, and I said, appreciate all y'all, but we got this opportunity at Montreat. But what was so cool about it and how my faith is laid today, I actually had to go back into the school account where I was coaching high school, because I needed something for a portfolio, and it was in that. And I had a calendar, and it said, I put on there the 2 days where I talked about how I was going to be a college coach and everything, and it dinged right when I had my interview with the president, that it fell on that day. So, but God, the day that I said that I was going to be a college coach 2 years ago, I actually got it on that day. So I run with whatever the signs that God put in place. I really listened to it and, you know, just go with the flow, and it got me here today. But I mean, I can't stress enough if God has sent the right people around me and at my table, as we discuss a lot. And that's kind of my journey of how that happened. And let me just say, it turned out far better than I could imagine. I did not think for a minute, like, okay, God, you got me here. I'm happy. Let me work this job. And then first it was Coach Lewis. My servant leadership went up just watching how he leads. That would probably be my biggest thing is for servant leadership, how I was doing it. And I didn't even know I was doing it at the time, was how I lead and how people follow not only my words, but my actions. And I got to see a greatest form from Coach Lewis. And now I sit at him right now. So just blessed.
Indeed blessed. And I'm going to unpack that, right? Because there were so many things in there. My little wrist was going to work. But there's so many things in there. And I hope you all, when y'all hear her, hear how humble she is, right? So that's why all of us boast her. She will boast everyone else. And then when it comes to her own accolades and her own wins and her own right directions, it's going to be very meek. And so I'm going to boast for you. One of the things that you said, we have to build genuine relationships with people, right? And I'm a believer of that. I'm a witness to you doing that. You don't build relationships with people because they're transactional. We talk about transactional versus transformational in here a lot. You are a person that truly is building transformational relationships. You truly want to just be there for anyone, have their back, build the relationships to figure out how you can help benefit them. And in that, it ended up benefiting you. You know, you are the true evidence of leading and working and then people watching, right? I don't do something because I know someone's watching. I do it because it's the right thing. And people took note and people took notice. And that was it. The other portion you said, basically it's God ordered my steps, but while he was ordering my steps, I put in the work. So often people want to be elevated, right? They want these positions, but what did you do while you're waiting? I always talk about that interim. Sometimes the blessing is in the waiting, because what did I learn? How did I sharpen my iron so I can sharpen someone else's iron? What did I do to prepare me for the blessing I'm asking for? And you did that. You went to camps, you trained, you went to the session, you were in every professional development that it could be online or in person. And when your time came, you were ready. But the last thing you said more than anything, you said, I live by the belief and betting on myself. Come on here. How can others believe in us if we don't believe in ourselves? And the reason why you bet on yourself is because you understand and know, I guess Hendricks want to get in the conversation. You understand and know at the end of the day, whose you are. I want you to take the time to talk about that for a second. You know, a lot of people know who they are, or so they believe, but we don't really gain traction, right? Until we understand whose we are. Talk a little bit about your Christian journey with us, right? Some people got it early in life. Some people got it later. Some people it took something to know them, but talk to us a little bit about how you learned Christ for yourself.
I've been wanting to share a story, so that was a great tie-in for me to share this. But I have a story, and it was 2018. It changed my life and how I walk today. Growing up, I was just always around just good people and good environment. Been very blessed again to have this environment and great people around, but. Mom was in the church, spent a lot of time with mom. And to be honest with you, I only went to church just to follow her and listen to my two favorite songs is Melodies from Heaven and Blessed by Fran Hammond. So when I came on, I didn't, like, it just wasn't for me. Like, it was for me, but I didn't find Christ until later. But I think being in those type of environments kept me on the right track and for where I am right now. But fast forward, it was 2018. I got undercutted for a job by somebody in my camp. And I'm so glad I did, because that was not a good job. The job that I took in high school, my first head coaching job, was phenomenal because I was already in the system and I could create. And I became where I'm at today was a huge part of that school and what I was able to create. So I ended up getting undercut for that job. And I was mad, but I did not want to be a head coach. But after I got undercut by a friend, I wanted to be a head coach. So talked to my mentor about it. He said, don't worry about it. Your next one's going to come.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So this job opened up in the public school district where I was at, and it was a pretty good job. They were used to winning. They had won the conference for like four times, and, you know, the coach resigned and they was looking for another winner. So I got that opportunity to interview, and my mentor was like, you're probably not going to get the job. So you're just using this as experience. Well, the last time I talked to him, a day before my interview, he said, Coach Chris, go get the job you're supposed to have. I'm like, whoa, what? So it changed, and I just had passion and energy. And on that job, they chose me. No experience, just the energy, just the passion to go all in. So previous to that, Coach Chelsea, I was in AAU. I wanted to know what it was like not to be liked and hated. And I knew that's where it would come as AAU, just because of everything that's going on. And Coach, they flushed me bad. I didn't want to coach anymore after that, but I stuck to it, got the job, and said, you know what? I need to reinvent myself. You know, I need to walk in my faith, and I want to do it publicly. And I'm going to take this time to bet on myself, because God has gotten me through a lot, and he's going to get me through this because I've already seen it. So the parent meeting and everybody publicly, I say, we went in the league again. So a new coach coming in. Are we going to get it back because y'all used to winning? I'm going to get coach of the year, and one of my players, she's going to get player of the year. And I'm going to take this team further than they've ever been in history. And so everybody's big-eyed, and, you know, everybody's talking, and who's this coach? And that ain't the same coach. And I'm like, God came to me. I seen it in a dream, and this is what it is. I'm going to get it. So we start out great. Everybody's loving it. And all of a sudden, what nobody knows, and I'm sharing this for the first time, I grew up in very privileged, and I had pretty much, I didn't have to want for anything. And during that time, my world came crashing down. I split from my significant other, so I had to start over again. My grandpa suddenly got dementia. It came out of nowhere. I had hurt my ankle, so I was in a boot. I came out the boot because I thought I was fine. Hurt it again, so I'm in pain. And when I started betting on myself and walking in this faith, those that I was seeking validation from began to, you know, act a little funny as I was coming up. So I'm dealing with all this. Chelsea, literally my day was 9 to 4 was work. 4 to 6 was practice. Then I would come home and go over practice film and, you know, grade papers. And then around 9 to 3, I had to be on call because I would get a call from my grandparents. They were both 80 at the time, right, in their 80s. And just asking me to come over because my grandpa is delusional and, you know, he's in pain and, you know, something was wrong. So I would get up typically around 1-3 in the morning, and I would go to their house, and I would sleep on the floor to block my grandpa from moving. So he liked to move and get cookies. And so my grandpa would sleep. And then sometimes that would happen during work. I would get a call, you know, you got to come to the ER because something happened to your grandparents. That was the constant move. But nobody knew that. And honestly, I thought nobody would care because publicly it's all about, will we win? You got to go to work. You got to teach these kids, right? So through all that, it started going down. We were losing games that we weren't supposed to. And that was the first time I actually got on my knees and I had a talk with God. And I said, you know what? If I made a fool of publicly, that is fine because you have blessed me with so much. I didn't know what I was worth at the time. And I started to know what I was worth, the meaning of family, and just providing for me what I did not know. So if it ain't meant to be, it's not meant to be. And I'll take that and keep moving, but I'm going to walk in your lane. Right. So I was like, but God, I really want this. Like, I work hard for this. Like, can you just give me a sign? That's all I ask, a sign. Just one sign, I'm good. But if, regardless, if you don't give it to me, we good. So two games later, I was playing a rival. And she comes up to me. We escaped her by little. She's like, man, I really love that you're in this conference. You just bring this energy and you bring in this new swag to the conference. And Chelsea, I was doing like public interviews on social media with the girls, something that they've never seen before. We was doing press conferences, all in the head, just being creative. And so I was like, thank you, I appreciate that. But I think I'm going to be made full of because I said all this and made us, you know, a big deal out of it. And then she goes, you know what, coach, never say never. I think I can get that for you. I said, what? She says, if I could beat that team that we were neck and neck, no, I was two games behind. If I could beat that team and you can get an upset somewhere, that'll put you at the same and that'll put you to get that title. And I remember going back in that locker room and I was like, we went in the league. We went in coach of the year. We going to far. And everybody's like, we still have to play the best of the best and we've been losing. I said, God sent me a sign. It's
good. Come on now.
Right? So two games later, we go against the number one seed in the top of the conference. It was split and we beat them by two. And everybody was like, yo, there might be some truth to this. She said this was going to happen. Then I get a text from that coach at our bottom level saying that, hey, we did our job. It's time to do yours. Good luck, coach. Go get it. So they actually upset that team. And the first time they played, they lost by 20. So they ended up winning by 10. And so that put us neck to neck with the team where I was going for the conference. Like everything was on the line. Turns out that team was, the school was the school that I interviewed for originally. And somebody got it due to experience. But I told them like, experience, like you bet on me because I'm gonna be here and I really wanna build. And they went a different direction. So I told the AD, I see him soon. So that night, Chelsea, was the greatest night of my basketball career. Just coming into that arena. It was a Monday night. It was packed like the boys. Everybody was in there. Everybody knew what it was for. It was for the league. The AD actually called me three times to reschedule that game. And I gave him, I was like, yeah, we can reschedule. It was snow due to parents couldn't get to the game. My AD calls me. He's upset. He's like, that's AD to AD. He's abusing the friendship. He shouldn't be calling you. I said to my AD, calm down. We gonna win. I'm gonna give him whatever he wants. We still gonna win. He said, how you know? God told me. So fourth quarter of that game, we're down by 10. And I just put my hands off and I said, hey, y'all go out there and play. And Coach Chelsea, everybody in that building seen it. They had the energy at the time and they ran out of gas. And we went up, ended up winning the game by 7. Locker room was crazy. And I went straight to the nursing home. It was about 11:30 and there was no visitors, but I told the nurses on duty, my grandpa never missed a game. He took me to all my games and I just won the league and I just want to be with him. And they was cool with it. So they snuck me in. You know, I had the time spent with my grandfather just giving him high fives because he forgot what I say every 5 seconds. And that was that. So also what happened is after that game, a team forgot to go to the conference committee to fill in for bracket. So it left the bracket I was under all the way up to sectional finals, which I told everybody that I would get them as far as I could. Well, as far as they ever been. So it was just a straight shot to sectional finals. And then at that time, I was not lesson planning. You're a teacher. With my grandpa's sickness and doing this and that, I couldn't lesson plan. So it was more like off the top of my head, I had 10 minutes for school and I was just doing lessons. And it was super creative. I had inner city kids excited about modern history. And when everybody came in, like it was just student led and they were having so much fun. I got my evaluation back and it was accomplished teacher. So
yes.
Yes. So I know that's a long story, but I say this to say this for motivation and people, like, no one knew what I was going through, but I kept the faith and I knew what I was going through. God, it was just God building me up, something inside of me, kind of resistance to some things I needed to do. But after that, I was like, if I ever have a down moment, like, it's cool. I'm unbothered, because from that experience and all the other ones, I could think back and he made a way for me. So this ain't nothing. So right now I sit at that intern head coach position, and it is a lot. That 6 feet over is inches over is something else, but I know it's building me for something that's good for me and my family, and it is whatever. I do it well. So hopefully that encouraged people to keep going. I'm on a lot of these calls and it's like, what can I do to get to this level? What can I do? And it's just basically, you know, God has our steps ordered and you have to follow them and you have to work and you have to stay encouraged. But if you stay consistent and you really bet on yourself and you believe it, you get to where you need to go.
You're gonna make me throw something at you. That's why I keep telling y'all better be glad that these calls are virtual, because y'all would have pens and shoes and all stuff thrown at you all. And it wasn't a long story. It actually was relevant and necessary, right? Because even if not the same, I was talking to this about servant leader Jennifer Williams the other day, even if it's not the same source, right? When you can connect and meet people with the going through, as we say, right? Somebody needs to hear that. But one of the trends that you keep stating and saying is that, but I knew my steps were ordered. You and I met and connected and got close off of the fact that our stories mirror, right? We're both close to our grandfathers. Arguably, they resemble each other. You just never really know, you know, how paths and genetics lines and family lines cross. But in that, I think one of the things that keeps trending is, you know, my steps were ordered. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 37 and 23, where it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. And the reason why these things happen, even when it seemed like a roadblock was coming, people didn't agree, things didn't seem to be going right, it's amazing how when you continue to follow the path of Christ, how they make their way straight. I tell people, you know this. I love Christine Kane. You know this about me, right? You know this. And she says all the time, impossible is where God starts. Not possible. Why? Because we will find our own individual way to be able to, you know, say we did it, or to be able to say that it was us. So he starts at impossible. So you would know it wasn't that team forgot. That was orchestration by his hand. Right? He knew you already were going to upset those teams. That wasn't a shock to him. Impossible is where God starts. But when he left you with everything that you said, it wasn't like, well, you know, it just worked out in my favor because, you know, we worked hard and the team we had. You immediately said, I know it was God. And even down to the struggles that you had to endure, even down to everything you had to go through with, the other thing you said is people didn't even know. Servant Juanita Ward talks about this all the time. She was like, a lot of times people will see your house from the outside. They think it's beautiful. It's all built up, but they don't know what's going on inside. I may not have furniture to first. I may not have lights. You don't know because you're seeing things from the outside. People watched you enter that classroom every day. They watched you enter practice, enter these games, and they wonder, she got to be good. She being able to do all this. And inside you were internally battling something people didn't know. But because you understood that your steps were ordered, you were now delighted in his way.
Right. And can I also say, I would ask you the question too. Like, it was weird during that time where I was actually happy. It was a lot going on, but like, I did not mind sleeping on the floor to, you know, make sure my grandma got rest and, you know, my grandpa didn't hurt himself going to get a cookie. You know, I was happy with the struggle just because I was like, man, I'm deemed for something. you know, like I genuinely was happy, and I loved the grind. I know that sounds weird. A lot of people was like, the grind's the worst. I would never go back. But I would go back if I could, because it was happy and I was learning, I was growing and was finding my faith. And I don't know, just life has been very good to me, even in the valleys and in the low, and just continue to spread that and keep it moving. But I don't know, is everybody, like, have you ever heard that before? Like, I generally, like, I just, you know, steps of order and I had to go through it, but I would do it again, you know? So.
But I think the thing, trials worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, right? And so that is a scripture out there. I'll find it and tag it in there for you guys. And we sing that. That's the fun thing. Trial worketh patience, patience worketh hope. In spite of my situation, I won't let go. That's the song, right? And so it's not so much as, you know, we welcome the storm, right? But when you know whose you are, as we keep talking about, you can welcome it because you know at the end of the day that even if the storm was generated by his hand, or even if he just allowed the storm to happen, right? Because every storm and situation doesn't come from him, but some things he will allow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, because he knows that all things work together for the good of them that love him. And the thing is, we love him. The thing is, we understand how our steps are ordered and who orders them. And so it's not so much as we're like, yeah, we want the storm to come, but we recognize what happens in the storm. We know the storm comes when it's time to be elevated. We know the storm comes when he's trying to refine us. We know the storm comes when he has something better in store, and we got to be prepared for it, right? So that grind that you speak of, we welcome it because we know on the other side of that, there's a song my pastor loves, on the other side of through, there's a blessing waiting on you, right? And so we don't mind going through because we like, oh, look, I don't know when, I don't know what, but I know on the other side of this thing, there's a blessing waiting on me, and I cannot wait to see what that is. So I'm going to grind on. I'm going to run on just a little while longer and see what the end going to be. So yeah, to answer your question.
Yeah, see, I'm getting there with the scriptures and everything. I ain't like yet, but I'm getting there. But that's
you got it.
Exactly right.
You got it. And you know, and speaking of getting there, right? And speaking of how we continuously grow in him, right? We'll go to the gym, get it in, right? Our brother Dennis, he had to hop off, but you know, him, Knox, all them, you know, been in their gym grind. You even been in there too. I gotta get back on it, right? But do what we can to stay physically fit, right? I told y'all, and I keep saying this over and over, Wordle might as well go ahead and just sponsor this episode in the past couple, but I'm on the Wordle hype, right? We playing Wordle, right? We doing it. I'm a beast, right? So we do what we can to stay mentally fit. But in terms of spiritually fit, how we continue to sharpen our iron and grow in the word and be fed by the word. Talk to us a little bit about, especially now, with your schedule being so crazy and so busy, what you do to remain spiritually fit.
Right. I actually just hang around the campus of Montreat and interact with all the people there. Sometimes we do devotionals together. It truly is a special place. Just being there really just hits my heart, and just interacting with the people. We talk about life and how God just done so much for us, you know, in the times of lows and high, and we share and we encourage each other. So that's probably the biggest thing, is I like being around the place where I work. Enjoy and really love the people there, and keep it with the devotionals. I've even have the players. I started doing something different. Coach Lewis would always lead us out in prayer. Sometimes he the students as well, ask them, and then me. But I started asking the student athletes to pray with me. So I've prayed, and then I'll move it over to them, and they'll pray us out or vice versa. And the joy in seeing that, where it's something different that like they haven't done before. And some of them are just like, oh, I might not be good at this. And I'm like, well, you have me. And, you know, it's just talking to God and you'll be fine. And been doing that for about 2 weeks now. So when I actually call on them to do it on their own, they just go right into it. So that keeps me spiritually fit, that every day, you know, my servanthood is working and with the girls, and they're starting to understand. And then also I do like to read. That's been the biggest thing for me in this journey of always working. I am a workaholic. You know that. Everybody's telling me, hey, you got to take a break here and there. But reading has done so much wonders for me too. I say that I'm a pretty intelligent woman, but when I started reading, I'm like, I don't know as much as I think I know. So definitely has elevated my mindset with that way too, but also is making me more calm and patient. You know, when you get into rush hour or something's a stop and I look around and people are mad, I just read a book and I'm calm. So to reiterate, just being around the campus, being around the student athletes, doing devotionals, praying together, and reading has really helped me spiritually in this journey.
I think that's awesome. And I think one of the things that you said,
oh, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
First session too.
Thank you.
The girls, they could tell you, whoever's driving my van, they know your voice and Coach's voice a mile away. That's Chelsea. She on servant leadership. So again, your platform stays on rotation constantly. And again, it's just that encouragement and how I've been through, you know, your session just keeps me moving forward. So sorry to cut you off, but I definitely
I appreciate that. You know, y'all be doing that, putting me on the spot, but I appreciate that. And I think that's the blessing in the servant leader, right? Is that, you know, no matter who is coming on, and I don't want to say the best ones, because all of them to me I hold so near and dear, but the ones that we get so hype is, like I said, like yours, where we are fellowshipping with you on a day-to-day basis or every other day, right? And then we watch, you know, pretty much the elevation. We watch God's word in action. That's how I say that. Like, you literally are God's words in action when you just trust and believe and just celebrating everybody else. So we got a chance to celebrate you, I think, is amazing. But you're right. I think that when we get ready to grow, we can never stop growing in general, but spiritually, there is no finish line, right, on this side in learning and growing in Christ. And I think that when we keep that mind, exactly what you're saying and what you're doing, we can definitely stay spiritually fit. And the way that you're doing that, you're building the athletes. I was looking at servant leader Charlotte Smith in her post. She was transparent enough to talk about how they were feeling after they lost the other night. And shout out to her, such an amazing coach at Elon, such an amazing career and resume. But she said, and it was amazing, she said, you know, sometimes the Bible app just won't do.
Yeah.
She had a picture and she had borrowed someone's Bible. She said, I knew who to go to. And she opened the Bible up of one of the ones who literally she had been leading. And this thing, I mean, was just highlighted, colorful, pages had been used and flipped, right? And it was just saying like how much joy that it did, right? To not only be holding the word, sometimes you got to hold. Like I love the Bible app, but I also got my word too, right? But to be able to pay attention to somebody that, like you said, being around my athletes and trying to help them pray, teach them how to pray, teach them how to know them for yourself. And then you get to see that, that was huge, right? And that's a beauty for Ashes moment. So I think more than anything, watching that within the servant leader and growing together has been huge. You know, sometimes people like say thanks and all that good stuff, and I appreciate that, but y'all help me grow too on a day-to-day basis. You all help me grow, and the best portion is when I'm able to edit it and put it out, and then I can listen as a listener. That's when the real learning begins to take place, and I'm just like, God, I thank you. I truly do. One of the things that I also wanted to point out is you also mentioned about living radically, unapologetically, no shame for him, right? And I think that in this professional world, especially of sport, it is growing, and I'm thankful for that, right? But that's why people always hear me with this platform. Our tagline is normalizing athletic professionals of faith. Because when, watch, you know, shout out to Baylor all last year, right? And the joy movement and putting God first and all that or whatever. And that was great. I love that. But I want us to get to a place where when somebody speaks about their faith in Christ, when somebody says, I thank God because he did that, I want it to be mainstream. Like, yep, me too. And let me tell you, I want it to be like a spitfire, how it just goes. And that's why we talk about normalizing it. But I want you to talk really quickly about the position you're in, the position that other coaches and athletic professionals will find themselves in, or maybe where they are, they feel like they can't live unapologetically or open to his faith. They're a little embarrassed about it. Give them an encouraging word on how to be able to get to that place.
For sure. I thought about this a lot, and you know, throughout some of the journeys that I've been through, I'm like, coach, they ask me, like, I can't do this and that. So I always think back to a life of regret. Like in this life, like if I were to be someone who I am not and I didn't get where I was at or I was not happy, like I can't live like that. So the encouraging word would be live your truth and live your life, and all it takes is one, but somebody's going to feel you. And how, Chelsea, I'm so happy and look in the mirror every day that I am me. I walk in this faith and I'm open about it, that I got what I was seeking through him, and I have no regrets. But that scares the heck out of me to think back, if I would have went this way that was not for me and I never got what I wanted, then I would be miserable and have a regret. So all it takes is one. That's been my life as well, and your faith and betting yourself, but always be you and you'll continue to succeed and be where you're supposed to be. Hope that makes sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense, because one of the things I tell people is sometimes we get these huge, large thesis type answers, right? Mm-hmm. The simplest thing we feel, right, is what people can't accomplish or ascertain. So when you say, be you, be who you are, unfortunately, my friend, that is something people struggle with on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Sounds simple. That's two words, be you. But one, the problem is we don't know who we are. You know, I was talking to, who was I talking to that day? Patty Medina, servant leader Patty Medina. Shout out to her. And that's why I always try to reference back, because I truly do use a lot of what you all say. And she was talking about, she was attending the MEAC leadership breakfast or one of the things she was with. And she was talking about the speaker talking about a lot of people having imposter syndrome. And the reason we do is because we don't know who we are. And if we're believers, we believe in Christ, that starts with knowing whose we are and who he is. You know, servant leader Jennifer Williams said the other day, she said, our assignments change. They don't stay the same. There's a season for our assignments. But again, my response to her was, the problem with assignments is, how can I receive my assignment if I don't know the person who gives it? So when you say to be you, when you say, I don't want to live a life with regrets, that is so important. It isn't simple. It's huge and heavy, because that is something we struggle with. We try to get the degrees. We try to get the titles. We try to elevate, but we do that without laying a strong foundation. Right. And if we can't learn who we are and to be who we are, that's how we lose ourselves in the shuffle. That's how we lose ourselves when we actually start to climb the ladder. So that was right on time. That wasn't simple at all. That was spot on and right on time.
Right. And Coach Chelsea, you know how I'm going to be good? I know I'm going to be good. And it was a servant leader who was on your call. And it just struck my soul and I look in my mirror every day. But it was, you know, it is Brittany Ezell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You already know. If you
oh,
want
yeah.
to see a woman or be a woman, they have to see one. So mm-hmm. every day I wake up and I'm in my servant leadership and they're seeing a woman because I want them to be the best woman they possibly can. And just know I'm going to be good based off of that. Shout out to Coach Ezell.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Love her. Shout out to her for sure. And I think I remember when she said that and how it struck you in the moment. You're talking about that was like a year ago. Yeah. And the fact that that is still, and that holds true. And even to our male listeners and our male servant leaders, understand that that walks in its value with you. We had Rachel Barbeau on the other day, the founder of I'm Changing the Narrative. And that's the thing. You know, Donna Loris has a song that says, there is a king in you. Right? So kings and queens have attributes that they have to exhibit. But again, in order to be able to, you know, walk through that and show those attributes, you have to see it first. So when we're walking as servant leaders and those that we're leading, we have to make sure we're showing that, right? We always talk about this generation is different. These kids are different. What do they see?
Yeah.
What do they see? And you can say, oh, we'll see at home. And fine. I get that. There's a point and a fact in that, but they also spend just as much time with you too. Mm-hmm. So I just want to put that charge out there to all my leaders, my educators, my coaches that work with the young people coming up. When we stand idly by and we talk about they're different, I partially want them to be different because every generation needs to be that way. But in order to have a foundation to spiral off into what they need to be, because they are our future, they have to see what you're showing. What are you showing them though? I'm gonna just leave that there and let you answer yourself, right? You crazy. This of course is the month of March and we have been celebrating women in leadership for Women's History Month. And God gave it to me, has nothing to do with me, but just the Proverbs 31 woman, just expressing the attributes of that in leadership. A lot of times, like I said before, we feel like there has to be two hats, right? This is who I'm gonna be, you know, when I'm at work, and then when I leave work, okay, I can serve them then this way. But we want to unify that thing, right? If we're servant leaders or we're Proverbs 31 women, we don't need to change. We want that thing to change and revolve into what God has called us to be. Right. Talk a little bit about what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman as you walk as a coach, as a daughter, physically and of the King, a friend, a servant leader, and to everybody that you walk amongst.
For sure. Well, Coach Josie, I had to look it up first and read it all through. And
that's it.
But what I took from it was one, faith, following and serving and loving Christ, mind, body, and soul. That's what I take, and I give it to anybody around me to follow. Second thing would be time. Spend time in all things that God wants me to spend time in. So that's uplifting, that's caring, that's, you know, my neighbor good and not, you know, hating and comparing and, you know, being evil. So I would say those are the two things that I took personally from a woman of Proverbs 31.
No, for sure. And I think, you know, it's amazing. No, I want to point out what you just said. You said, Coach Josie, I need you to know I had to look that up. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what you do, right? You know, so often individuals, we move and we shake and we don't want people to understand a way I don't know. That's what we do. That's how we grow. That's what Christ wants us to do, right? To study that word, to show ourselves approved, right? And we can do that. I can tell you before reading it, you were already exhibiting those things, but it happens a little bit more now that you know, right?
Right. When I was reading, I was like, oh, like I'm doing this.
Right. Exactly. And I think on the flip side of that, you think about it, when we encourage the people around us that we lead, it makes them walk a little more with their chest out, right? When we highlight the things they're doing right, it makes them walk with their chest out. And so these are things that you're already exhibiting, but now you know, wait a minute, this is what Christ wanted me to do anyway. Let me, you know, let me up my game a little bit more. And I think that that is so perfect with that. You know, we, again, study to show ourselves approved, and that's it. That is it when we talk about Proverbs 31 women in leadership. And honestly, that's men too, but you said it best, right? I'm going to have faith and I'm going to utilize that in mind, body, and spirit. But more than anything, you said it, that word uplift. Impact. If Coach G was on here, you know, he'd have been typed that 50 times over because he loved that. This is true, right? We have to uplift and we have to move forward. It doesn't mean anything if we're leading, if the people that we're leading, we don't catapult them or help them to catapult further. If they're in the same place, I tell my young ladies this and anybody lead, if you're in the same place, right? Now, mind you, there's a caveat to that. Are you doing the things I'm asking you to do? Mm-hmm. Putting in the work. But if you're in the same place from when I started to when I took my hands off you, there's a problem. Yeah. There's a problem. If you've done all the things that you should have been doing and put in the work, if you're in that same place, all my leaders as a coach, educator, VP, principal, pastor, whatever the case may be, if that person is not even moving an inch, it's time to self-evaluate. And notice I didn't say evaluate. I said self-evaluate. That's a part of servant leadership. As a part of being a Proverbs 31 woman, we're not going to look at a problem and go try to find where it is over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with self and figure out how to rearrange that thing.
Right. I got it from Coach Foy. It's 100% responsibility. So when I was going through the journey as well, you know, like, that ain't their fault. It's not their fault. It's my fault. I could have fixed that. So that's one thing, too, that I've grown with is 100% responsibility. It's on me.
No, for sure. And I tell my young ladies all the time, I take the losses. Y'all take the wins. This was arguably probably our hardest year in terms of win and losses, our most failing year as a coach, right? And granted, there's things in there where when talking amongst coaches and those are part of athletes, if you all came, you would probably be able to, as Willie Spears says all the time, he said, if I come in your gym and I see rat droppings, I don't have to say you got rats. I see the evidence, right? He talks about that all the time. I love him. If y'all don't know him, I'm telling you, I'm going to go find him. Shout out to him. He has a podcast and a book called Winning at Home. Look him up, Willie Spears. But that was so important because as coaches and athletes and athletic pressure, y'all could come in and say, well, I know the coaches said this, and I'm paying attention. They're not doing this. I know the coach said this, and I know how that parent things work or where it, there's so many things that could be said, but even in all of that, I always say, I take the losses, you all take the wins. But I think more than anything in that, we have to make sure, like you said, 100% responsibility, 100%, because in that, if we're not moving forward, it's part of you. And when you can take 100%, one of the things that I did start to learn, you know what happened? Some of my players say, no, coach, I can't let you do that. You didn't miss the layups, coach. Coach, you didn't miss the free throws. Coach, you did not come to practice that day. You did not do the game plan, right? And it's not going to always happen that way. Taking ownership is not an easy thing to do. But we grow from that. So I think that's perfect.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, as we start to wrap this thing up, you know, there are two questions that we definitely have to give you. I think it sounds weird to say to make you a part of the servant leader family because you're already a part of the servant leader family. You are. So let's just say where you are. To make you, to put you in a different position in the servant leader family. How about that? We'll do that, right? So of course, the first one, you know this to be true. You know this. You all literally want a spitfire the other day. With my God is devotional. Mm-hmm. Say God is, and because we know when times get hard, when things get hard, sometimes we do. I don't care how strong in your faith you are. If you are honest with yourself in the storm, sometimes it is hard to see him. Sometimes it is hard for somebody to tell my pastor, I would say this to me. He's like, I don't care. And lost in hard times, don't come telling me you know how I feel. Don't come telling me he good. I'm not trying to hear that right now. And it's truth. Why? Because we're part flesh. If you want to be real with yourself, everybody has that moment. So I do my God is devotional because it helps steer me straight. It helps to remember and recall the things that he has been and the things that he has not been. I cannot let that part go because why? There's things he blocks us from that we think are good. There's things that we ask him for. And he's like, why does she want that? She don't even know if I give her this, she does not know where this is going to take her. So let me block that real quick. But you don't get multiple. You just get one. So if I said God is, and I drew a blank, what is God to Coach Chris Burnett? God is what?
to go with my story and our fellowship today, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Come on.
As you know, my talk with God, the first one, and, you know, he rewarded me. There's been times where I just call on him, and I can honestly say he's came through. So that's going to be my God is, and hopefully no one's took that yet.
No, that's the first one. I'm sitting here laughing because I, you know, Ms. Hendricks definitely agreed with your answer because your niece over here talking right. All through my segment, okay?
Yeah.
But no one has ever said that, and I think that is a theme. It truly is a theme. Like, if I always ask people this, and this is going to actually become one of my questions starting next month, so I'm giving y'all a advance notice for those that I've already booked for April. What is your theme, right? If there was that one scripture or one song to put a title on your walk with God, what would that be, right? Mm-hmm. That's you.
Yeah.
Knowing you for the past 2 years, knowing what you've endured, knowing that you're battle tested, understanding the obstacles you come, and then understand the opportunity. See, here's the thing, right? I'm not going to prolong this thing at all. But a lot of times us as servant leaders and leaders, we miss the opportunity when it comes. Ask all day for it. Then God be like, why are you tripping? It's like the story my pastor always tells of the man that was stuck on the island. He's like, God, help me, help me. Helicopter came. Now I'm good. God gonna help me. Boat came. I don't need it. God gonna help me. Then you sit and say, God, where are you? And God like, are you crazy? I sent the helicopter. I sent the boat. Right. And so we miss the opportunity so much because we're not focused on where he is. We're not focused on what he's trying to show us. And I watched you study to show yourself approved. I've watched you put in the work. I've watched you learn him. I've watched you say, I don't know. Where do I need to go to find that? I've watched you diligently ask, hey, y'all help me. I want to get better in this. Help me. I watched that. And then I watched God shine on you for your obedience. I watched him put his grace on you for just saying, I take my hands off, let you have the way. And then more than anything, I watched him reward you for not only your diligence, as you just said, but I watched him reward you because you spoke those things as if they were, just like the word said. You spoke it. I'm a witness. You told me I'm going to be a college coach. You told me that.
I did. I told everybody that.
Yeah, boldly. And here you are. So faith without works is dead. Yeah. You gave faith and works. And you are now the interim women's head coach for Montreat College. Coach KB, I can't say nothing else. This is the servant leader coach's Bible study, where servant leadership is at the front, the back, the side, the middle, and all around what we do. You have exhibited that for those that watch. You have spoke about it for those that have listened today and every day. But I'm asking you, servant leader, servant leadership, two words that take on so many meanings. But I'm asking you, servant leader, Chris Burnett, what is servant leadership to you?
Servant leadership is, I got you. You fall down, I reach.
Come on.
You in tears, I wipe your tears away, and we figure it out. You sinning, or, you know, you went down the wrong path. I've been there too. You just the same. Pick you back up. You know, you don't know where to go. Hey, I got the encouraging word for you. You need some help. KB know how to do a lot of things. What you need, just ask. So servant leadership means to me, and what I follow is, I got you.
You know, I'm done. I'm done. I ain't saying nothing else. I'm finished. I'm done. Yes, that is new. No, we've never heard it before. And again, the reason why the world will now know too, why I love you just as much as I do, probably even more now after this hour, is because that's exactly who you are. Yeah. I'm not about to sit here and ask you and give you 50 million questions. You hurting? How can I make that go away? You crying? We can't have that. Let me wipe that and let's get back on this. You messed up, girl. Me too. Me too. Let me tell you about that time I messed up because I did that too. I'm not about to bad talk you and bash you. I did it too. And that is you. You didn't just talk this. This is not your definition for paper. This is the definition of how you walk every single day.
You right.
Thankful for you, KB. I am. I cannot say that enough. You know, it goes beyond a podcast. It goes beyond the fellowship we have here. It goes beyond the camp, as you say. It truly is watching God's word in action, watching what happens when we allow his paths to cross, and paying attention to the opportunities he sends. And the opportunity when you came along 2 years ago and joined our fellowship, stayed diligently and moved forward, you did not waver in anything that you were. You did not waver in our friendship and our sisterhood. And so I appreciate you so much. I really, really do.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too. Anything final you want to say to our listening body before we get out today?
I just, cross off my bucket list. Thank you. For I just really want this to hopefully be as good as the others as far as encouraging. I just want this session to be like, man, Chris really encouraged. And, you know, when that time comes where I shall pass and actually think about it a lot, I want, how will my impact and affect other people? And I really like who I am and, you know, where God has called me to be, because I can see my close friends and strangers and people that see this, you know, it gives them encouraging words to move forward. Because Coach Chris is going to say, get up, you got this. And she's going to want to see me happy. And she would just always be supportive in me and my dreams of where I want to go. So that's what I hope that a lot of people will get from this, is stay encouraged and through the ups and the downs and, you know, your steps. God's already ordered the steps. So just see it through and have fun. Enjoy life. Enjoy the ride. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. And I can tell you this. This episode, this conversation, this broadcast is exactly what God wanted it to be. And I need you to understand that that person that you've already encouraged and will encourage, I can assure you it's coming to pass. And, you know, you mentioned Coach Brittany Ezell earlier, and the same thing she always used to say is, I'm not resume living. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. She said, I'm eulogy living. And that's what you're doing. So please understand and know, here, now, then, thereafter. Once this thing is stamped in, which it is, there will be somebody encouraged. So of course, before you go, before all of us go, bow your head so we can cover. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you right now for another episode, another fellowship, another time and journey just to speak you up, to lift you up, to pump you up, to advertise to others who don't know you. I thank you right now, Lord God, for the opportunity just to be your servant leaders, Lord God, because the titles and the positions that you give us, understand it's not about the position, it's you who positioned us there. So help us to not forget that. Help us to never forget the opportunities or miss the opportunities that you have to come. Help us to remember, Lord God, that just like Coach KB said today, that our steps are ordered. So help us to continue to walk the line that you've drawn out for us. Help us to drive the path that you've laid out for us, Lord God. Ask that whatever someone needs, meet them at their point of need today. I don't need to know. Coach KB does not need to know, but you know, Lord God. So I'm asking you to bless them, touch them, heal them. Lord, show them who you are for those that may not know you. I pray a special prayer right now, Lord God, for the Ukraine, Lord God. I also pray for Russia, Lord God. Touch the hearts, touch the problem, touch the issue, Lord God. All the things we see, Lord God, it's nothing new, but I'm asking right now that your hand of mercy be touched on the hearts and the minds and the spirits, Lord God. Keep them covered. Ask a special prayer, Lord God, for Brittany Griner right now, Lord God. Be with her, Lord God. Bring her home, Lord God. Help us to touch and greet, Lord God, for everything that's needed to heal our land. But most of all, I ask right now, Lord God, that you help us to be lights so that those that may not know you can find you. And yes, in Jesus' name, we'll always pray. Amen.
Amen.
Coach KB, you are now a part of the Servant Leader family.
I'm really excited. I feel great. Thank you.
I love it. We welcome you in. You've always been in, but we thank you for now being in a totally different place and realm. So I appreciate you. I love you. We thank y'all for listening, and we're going to see you guys next time.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share my testimony.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.